Welcome back to the show that keeps the rubber the right way down the whole time. O Canada RC, the podcast. Powered by Reefs RC. Reefs, maker of high-quality RC products. Now it's time to flip it over to the boys with the toys who are making some noise. What's going on, Team O Canada RC? It's Wednesday. It's Whoops Wednesday, and I am back. And things are developing. Things are moving forward in the garage. And you're like, what the heck is he talking about? Why does he keep doing that with his voice? Okay, I'll stop. Stokage was through the roof yesterday when I met up with James Vicente from Leisure RC, and we picked up the new lid. The twister body has been painted for the X-Ray T4, and I'm so excited to get this thing on the track. It's been a few weeks of learnings, and the learning will no doubt continue. Today's plan is to clean up the rig a little bit, clean up some of the wiring, make it look a little more presentable. Not forget the transponder for tomorrow night's club race. And get the body mounted solidly. Right now the body, from what I've been informed by the pros at Phoenix, is a bit high on the mounts. So we are currently, as I talk to you, moving the pins down one to ensure that the body is low enough in terms of the ride height. In terms of the body height, not the ride height. This is what happens when I try to do things while I'm talking to you on the podcast. I start to use the wrong words and everything goes sideways. So I'll try to focus a little bit more. So yeah, that is the primary excitement right now that we're dealing with inside the garage. As you know from before, I'm running a stock 17.5 zombie motor in this bad boy. And you know what? It's a lot of power for the X-Ray and for the uninitiated driver. And that would be me. However, I have decided to stick with it. I have decided that to realize this is going to take time. You know, I had a long conversation with Pablo last week on the weekend. And we both talked about racing, and it does take time to adapt to not only the speed, but the track, the conditions, the types of people you will meet, and how to just feel comfortable in general going to the track without feeling like too much of a noob. And so we have to be kind to ourselves as new drivers to realize there is going to be a lot more learning. At this point, the learning curve will be very steep. And to just embrace that, man, because as a new driver, it's a new world. I just knocked one of my tires underneath my real car, which is awesome. As a new driver, there is a lot to take in. There's a lot to learn. So I am really looking forward to tonight at, Phoenix tomorrow night. And I'm grunting because now I'm under the car getting the tire. Got it back. Good to go. There we go. Looking forward to Phoenix tomorrow night. I think it's going to be awesome. If we have the turnout that we had last Thursday, man, let me tell you, it's a good group of guys, and everybody's just chilling. Everybody's out to have a great time. There's not a ton of seriousness, although I'll say this, competition's real. This is a real thing. Guys come out and there is trash talk up and down the pit lanes. It's friendly trash talk, but there is trash talk between some of the more veteran drivers. They leave us noobs alone. They leave the new guys alone for a while. Although it was hilarious because when I was there last week, I was just about to hit the throttle on my first time out, and I was borrowing one of the local guys' bodies. And just before I did, it's like they all planned it. They all sort of yelled, "Don't break it! Don't break it, man!" And I looked up like a scared kitten, and then I started laughing because I realized they were all just messing with me. So good guys again at Phoenix. So what's going on this week in the world of RC? Well, my world is all about on-road these days. I'm also going to take the short course, sorry, rather the stadium truck out. The gear diff is in it, and I'm excited to see how it'll run. I think it's a good opportunity to run it on the flat track and just as for a bit of a test drive, not worry about the jumps at this point. Off-road week will be coming in, I think, another week at Phoenix, so we're excited for that setup. We'll have two cars back at it, and hopefully we have another club race because I want to redeem myself for the last time. I had to pull the chute early, so that's what's going on in my world of RC. We also have Pablo coming on today. Whoops, Wednesday. He is getting up bright and early, and we're going to talk about banners. That's all I'm going to say. We're also going to talk about the gatekeeper, and I'm going to jab and spar with him a little bit and joke with him a little bit on the presidential debate. Don't want to miss that. I watched a whole 15 minutes of that last night, and it's all I could stomach. It's all I could stomach. Let's just say that. It was a circus. It was a circus. It's really kind of upsetting. But we won't get into that too much because I know that's not why you're here. You're here to hear what we're doing in RC, what's going on in the world of RC. So hang in there. Stick with us. Slightly shorter version of Whoops Wednesday coming at you, but a good version nonetheless. Thanks for the love. Check out the channel. Check out the page on Instagram at OCanadaRC. The podcast, all new episodes get posted there, or listen and follow and subscribe on iTunes, Anchor, Google Podcasts, you name it. We are on seven platforms, and we thank you for the love. You guys have been awesome. We're almost at 3,000 downloads. It's fantastic for this tiny little podcast. And much love to my man Sharif at Reefs RC. I'm gonna get Sharif on soon. We need to hear what's going on, what's new with the business down there in Ontario, California, from Ontario, Canada. One little segment I want to start doing on the podcast is something called Three Pros and a Con. And it can be about anything. Three pros and a con on any of my rigs, on something new in RC, about a philosophy, anything you guys want to hear, let me know, and I will give you my three pros and a con. So we're going to start off simple today. And my three pros and a con today are going to be about slick tires. As I look at the bench and I tweak my stadium truck tires there, my three pros about slick tires are as follows. Slick tires just feel nicer. That is an ultimate geek statement from an ultimate RC nut. The smoothness of the tire, the ability to be able to slick them up, clean them, the tire maintenance that I can do with a slick, I love, I love, I love. My second pro is slick tires last a lot longer. I find that slick tires last longer than pins. I think there's obviously less wear on the carpet surface and on the wallet, on the pocketbook. That is a huge plus. So that's number two. Pro number three on the slick tires. Really, there's not a ton of selection out there between Primes, Pro Lines, AKAs. Maybe a couple other few other brands. And once you start to get to know the compounds, I find slick tires to be fairly simple to wrap my head around. Now, I will admit that that may just be because I don't have a ton of experience with off-road, and maybe it's the same. Maybe once you start to understand the brands that work for you and the ones that you like and the compounds, it's about the same thing. But in my experience, it's mostly been with slicks to this point, with racing anyways. That is the third pro for me. The cons. Here we go. Slicks don't always perform as good as what we're starting to discover shaved down pins will on the high bite, high traction black carpet surface. This is a very small and minor con, but are slicks on the way out? I don't know. At our track, a lot of guys are running, when we're talking two-wheel drive, they're running the shaved down pins on the back. We're talking four-wheel drive, they're running shaved down pins all around. So a minor con, but we'll see how that turns out. That's three pros and a con for this epi. We're going to let the musical interlude take you away into our next fantastic segment. So thanks for joining us to start Whoops Wednesday off. What's coming up? We'll just have to keep listening and find out. All right, everybody, we are back. Segment two here on Whoops Wednesday. And today we're going to call it Weird Wednesday because Pablo and I are chatting. Pablo Guerrero joins us, RC Amigos. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, brother. Another day.
Another day. It's a weird one. We're having gremlins, technical gremlins in the background. I think gremlins just messing with life in general. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe COVID is really Gremlins 3. Was there a Gremlins 3?
Yeah,
I don't know if they made that movie.
I think they might have. Straight to video, STV, as they say.
Straight to video, exactly. There's like Spike's Revenge. I don't even know how I remember the name of the damn Gremlins. Yeah, man. So, what's going on? You had a fun night last night.
Oh, dude. I think that could be leading into what's going on today. I think the hole got torn in the universe with our
Did you snap your fingers in the gauntlet or something, or what'd you do?
Oh, no. I mean, it was just like it was one of those things where so we went we were trying to pack in so much stuff, right? We were trying to go to this race at Die Hard and watch some no prep drag because it was at, semi-organized. Well, I don't want to say semi-organized. That means it, I don't know if it was supposed to be organized. Does that make sense?
Right.
So kind of under the radar kind of a thing. So we went and checked that out. Everyone was, cool, social distanced, all that kind of stuff. So that was rad. And then we tried to squeeze in the political debates
Oh
after.
boy.
Oh my goodness. That was like
So let's save that for our change in direction later.
Yeah, seriously. So, but
Brother,
no,
yeah.
it was good. It made me, it was funny. My daughter was like, "Yep, we're doing that next." So I was like, "All right, well, we'll see how that goes."
That's awesome. So when you say, so this is going to sound naive, but I think this is important for listeners because if they've never seen or done no prep drag racing, what does it mean? What does no prep mean versus prep?
Okay. So this is like the insert sound clip from Will Ferrell. What does it mean? Nobody knows what it means.
I feel it down in my plum.
Oh my gosh,
Sorry.
that's kind of yeah, that's one of our
Oh,
I always say that.
brother.
I feel it in my plums.
With a bluish hue.
Oh my gosh, that's
Oh,
awesome.
okay, we gotta stop.
Yeah. Okay. So, the thing is about the no prep, I don't really I think the vernacular was brought over from everybody watching Discovery TV, watching the drag racing on, the Oklahoma City drag racing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because there's prep. I mean, surprise.
It's just yeah, not a lot of prep. Maybe it's just like let's go. Like you're on the line and that's maybe I don't know what it refers to. We're just going. We're doing a lot.
Not, I think I don't know where what the term comes from, but I mean they're very detailed. They're there's tire warmers, they burn out to warm up the
Wow.
tires. There's
Yeah.
they're checking their batteries. They're getting two pulls, maybe one pull per battery. I mean
Huh.
it's like Yeah, so it's pretty intense.
Welcome to the Genealogy Podcast, where we discover the genealogy in everything.
I know.
No prep. No. That's cool with tire warmers, because that's something I've seen. I've been watching, scouring the interwebs, and with on-road, you'll see, I mean, you'll see that in any kind of racing. You see that with off-road, on clay tracks, guys will warm up the tires so the sauce takes, I think. So I'm guessing there's sauce with the drag race, right? You need that traction off the line. Is that something that you were seeing?
Yeah. I heard people talk about it. I heard people talk about it. I didn't specifically see people do that. I don't know. I mean, it just seemed.
So for the listeners,
yo,
we talked about gremlins off the top, and honest to God, I think something's going on with the gremlins. So I apologize if you're listening. We're just going to jump back into it here.
You got me now?
I got you, man.
Nice.
I'm not going to move, breathe, blink, or otherwise, because I don't know. Maybe it's to quote Cousin Eddie, this government installed plastic plate in my head. If I bump that, my hair's just not going to sit right. I think it might be throwing off the signal. So you were talking about drag racing, man. You were talking about coming in and not getting DQ'd off the top. Yeah, what's the setup look like on those rigs, man?
You know, I saw everything from buggy conversions. There's a couple TLR buggy conversions to the DR10s, to the slash conversions. So that's why I was like, wow. Is this like full on, like just bring what you got, like, you know, and run them up? So, of course, that got me being like, I think I'm going to make my own chassis for this. Why not? Sick. You know, so I'm sick. Starting to, that's back burner. I got to finish this Nomad build for, or Nova build first. But I'm like, okay, well, we'll see what happens, where that goes. I see, it's funny because Olivia was super into it. My son Dalton was like, he was into it, but I think he liked watching it, but I think he kind of had the same kind of feeling that I did. Like, how cool was that just to sit there and go fast in one line?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I think unless you're into wrenching on it and dialing it in, that's what most of this one's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing for me is I was thinking about it and I was watching, you sent me a video the other night there and, I think it would be really cool to watch guys get dialed in and just be part of that environment. But the straight line, you know, real quick shot of speed for me, I'm like, I don't know if I could invest it in it, but I'd like to be around it.
Well, you know? Here's the other part of it. I was like, you know, kind of like our conversation last time, you get to the track and there's people that are like into it, right? Like, and you're and maybe it's me coming from a drag, like a one-to-one drag racing background. I'm like, bro, this is a toy. Like this is for real a toy car. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've literally been like a pull man next to an alcohol dragster where if something happens, I'm yanking the guy off the dragster. You know what I mean? Like when he's starting the car. So I'm like, I've been around that. I've been around building cars like that. And an RC car seems like a lot of fun, but it's like, no one's going 200 miles an hour here. Like, but it was, you know, it was really cool. They do take it very seriously.
I'm sure,
you know, to the point where like the vernacular is really funny. You know, they talk about pedaling it halfway down the track and stuff. And it's like, I'm like, yeah, I'd just say, you know, maybe I feathered it a little bit, but whatever. So, reliving those glory days, I guess. So, but no,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. You could definitely see the guys that are like old school guys that came up in that kind of like 70s funny car feel kind of a thing. Cause that's what I see this car. If I build mine, it'll be like a 70s funny car or like a 70s drag car. Not, you know, I don't know. Some of the newer styles are pretty cool, but they're, you know, pushing the scale boundary a little bit. So
it's kind of like, I guess, you know, I look at the just RC in general and
It's the whole, maybe this is a scalable version of your youth.
Right.
You know,
right,
something that right. you, a little more affordable, not a lot more affordable. Let's be honest. This is crazy expensive sometimes. But with drag, like you said, the ability to build your own chassis and kind of come in with something that no one else has. It's interesting to me because I know, like, for example, on road racing with X, it's either X-Ray or Awesomatics. And if you aren't running one of those platforms, you cannot compete. But with drag, it sounds like maybe you can, depending on your skills and what you have available, anything.
Well,
can happen,
okay. Right? So the way I look at it too, is like me being a drag racing motorhead purist, like that's yeah. where my love for the RC came from, right? Is like being a gearhead. Drag racing in the, you know, 50s, 60s was such an innovation.
Yeah.
Because people just didn't know what was going on. You know, it's like dropping the atomic bomb. They're like, are we going to blow a hole in the atmosphere? What's going to happen? And so people were just, yeah. you know, stacking superchargers, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, that's kind of how I would actually go about playing with this drag RC car stuff. I would be like, you know, I'm going to make my own chassis. Maybe I'm going to go crazy. And now that I'm, you know, with Scale Metal Supplies, maybe I'll do a tube chassis dragster. You know what I mean? And
sick.
I don't know if I've seen many of that. Cause obviously, you know, it's counterintuitive for weight, but you know, that's the other thing, dude. These things were missiles at the top end of the track. I mean,
okay.
You know, I forgot what the term is when you're like driving your stadium truck or, you know, your short course truck and it catches yeah. air when you jump and it kind of floats.
Oh, like it balloons.
Yeah.
Parachutes.
Real deal
yeah.
when it comes to drag cars, dude. I mean, they'd get 3/4 of the way down and just lift off or, you know, instantly push to the left and then just skip up. I've got, after we're done here, I'm going to pull up my GoPro video and I've got a couple. I got one that a tire just blew right off of it down 3/4 of the way. It was pretty cool. So, and you know, the nerdy thing for me, Traxxas makes this, they make a sound kit and I've been wanting to track it down, but it's like as much as the car is, right? But it's the one that I've only heard that sounds like a car. And
yeah,
dude, I could totally see that on a drag car. Like,
that's sick.
You know, just to like hear it, and that would be kind of neat. But
it's the theater, man. Right? It's the theater.
Oh, totally.
Right? Like, I could get behind that, man. Like, and I think the carnage, like you said, like you're much you know way more about drag racing than I do. But having watched some, you know, stuff on that, and when stuff goes wrong in real life, it's not so cool when a tire blows off a RC car and it goes skidding across, maybe takes out the car beside. That's all kind of, as a spectator, I'm like, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Nobody got hurt, but that was awesome. And it wasn't my $2,000 car that just got trashed.
Yeah, for sure.
So
for sure. And I could totally see.
Awesome, man.
The, possibility of, you know, we crash a race car, a dirt track car, and it's like replacing a link and, you know, an A-arm or whatever. I could full-on see crashing one of these cars and being like, well, maybe I can save the transmission. Like, I mean no joke, I mean these cars go that fast,
that much carnage.
Oh yeah. Wow. And you know, and if they hit something solidish at the end, oh yeah, I mean, they were pulling.
That's awesome.
They were there's a couple guys that were hitting it with a radar gun out there, and they were doing, you know, almost 60 miles an hour and 120 Jeez. Feet. So,
it's wow,
pretty fast.
Yeah, that's fast, yeah. man. That's 60 miles an hour is like 120 kilometers an hour up here, which is highway speed. It's like middle lane highway speed. So that's. That's for all the Canadians who got lost there. Pablo said miles per hour. I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of my.
So friend. Okay. So when drag races happen up there, this is me being like America, but it's like, do America. They change it over to kilometers an hour when there's drag racing up there? I mean, let's be honest. It started in America, right? So it's like, why not? You know, it's like.
I'm gonna say that those guys that are doing it up here are not worried about the metric conversion. How about that? And that's not to say anything about the people that drag race up here. I don't think so. I think that's just me being a colonial purist.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Speaking of that, it is now time. I know you've been dying for this moment. For the change in direction. This is brought to you by Reefs RC. No matter the line you're on, turn your next crawl, bash, race, or flight into a memorable one with a quality engineered reef servo. Visit reefsrc.com today. And when we talk about lines that you're on, some of the lines that your two presidential candidates were on last night, man, I don't know if they were doing lines before, dude, or if they were just... And I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to leave it to you, and then I'm not going to get into it because it's easy for me to sit up here in the tundra and make commentary. But holy crap, what was that? Like, I felt like I've been at high school debates that made more salient points than either of them. And I'm not a Trump fan, but I look at Biden and I go, you're not giving me much, man. You're not helping me out here. Like, I want to pull for you because you're not him, but you're not helping me. And when one of them tells the other one, just shut up. I was waiting for Trump to like rip off his suit and have like the KISS war paint on and just drop an elbow on the guy, man. Like,
okay. So there is one thing that it showed me in that whole exchange, which was, it was funny because we were watching it and then the commentary that we were watching, the channel we were watching it on, it was like, they were like deer in headlights. Like they were, as soon as it cut to them, they were like, what was that? There was a guy that was like, he was like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but he's like, that was a train wreck. And I was like, yeah, it was. But, you know, if there was one thing that I saw that was a little eye-opening was...
Sure.
And I don't know how to put this without making it sound like I'm pro... I'm trying to stay down the middle of the line here, but...
Sure. No, just say it. It's good.
It made me feel like there's someone who is willing to fight for it at all cost and someone who doesn't have the energy to fight for it at all cost. And
yeah, desperation.
Yeah. And you know, and I told my wife afterwards, I was like, you know, what the sad point of this was not only what it made our stigma look like across the world, but it also felt like there was a guy just beating up on an old man. Like, I mean, seriously, like some of the,
the
like looks that he was giving afterwards, I was just like, is he gonna cry? Is he gonna like, I felt bad for the guy. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I felt bad for him, but he kind of walked into a buzzsaw himself and.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Like, not to get I think we're not getting political. I think what we're commenting on here is just something that the whole world watches right now, for better, for worse, whatever your perspective is. And it was interesting and horrifying and humorous and just, again, stunning all at the same time. I think my wife was, I was laying in bed watching it on my phone, streaming on YouTube. And I, every once in a while, I pull the earphones out. I'm like, you got to listen to this. And she'd listen. And she's like, I can't listen anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but you gotta listen. You gotta know what they're saying and what they're not saying, and just be aware. So I think at the end of the day for me, it's always about awareness, right? You can't have a position if you're not aware.
Oh, 100%. And you know what's interesting too is that this isn't the first time that politics has gotten this way worldwide. I mean, you can look at things worldwide and see just crazy things that people are doing in politics.
Yes.
But what I think what it does is that, you know, and I don't, maybe this is just me being, you know, quote unquote dumb American, but there's like an American standard, right? And when it comes to democracy and all this kind of stuff. And I think people look at America that way. I think it's being tarnished more and more, but there is an American standard and there's some kind of decorum that I feel that people should hold. And I don't understand where the pivotal point was in our country over the last 20 years that has made it okay to react in certain ways. But if anything happened, I'm wondering how many young adults or middle-aged adults like me looked at this thing and said, how am I going to make this thing different? Right? Like, how am I? And I think that's something that I hope that people are inspired by seeing what happened. It kind of made me be like, you know, if I was to run for government, how would I do this? Because obviously these people, there's a lot to be said for, you know, it's been 45 years of one way and, you know, another guy coming in is totally different, shaking up the system and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I kind of feel like, you know, if any educated person could make a dent somewhere now. And, you know, as long as they're charismatic and I think, you know, I think what's missing is that people don't realize that, and this is kind of like our segue back into RC, but people don't realize that you can go into something and if you out front say, I don't have all the answers, but I want to know how to get there. And I'm going to use the people around me to get to those answers. And we're going to be humble about it. And we're going to move forward. And not everyone's going to like it, but you know, this is the way we're going to do it. If they would just be humble about stuff and kind of preface it and just acknowledge that they're going to make mistakes, I think the world would probably be in a better place.
I agree. You know what? That goes back to our conversations around jumping into the racing scene that we talked about on the weekend. Exactly like that. I go into that with humility and I am self-deprecating because that's me normally. But in a new situation, those two things will get you a long way with other people. They'll help you learn and get better. And with racing, it's observing, taking the good, providing an opinion, respecting a different opinion, having some humor, right? Like humor, I know when we're talking about politics, we're talking about a lot of very serious issues and they shouldn't be made fun of all the time. But if you don't have a little bit of humor about it, then, you know, we're not being human in the way that we approach it. Right. It's funny how that's a great segue though, back to RC. Cause it's, no matter if you're at a drag strip for the first time or you're at a carpet track or a turf track, like you guys were or whatever, it's, if anything is going to exist and prosper, you need that. There needs to be that compassion, humility, perspective of the other side, you know, no matter what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you have to be able to take, it's interesting. And maybe it's just from you and I come from a creative vein where criticism is expected, right? You expect to get criticized. We had critiques when I was in college on my, you know, studio projects and all that. And I was very...
And every time I'm on this podcast with you, I'm expecting to get criticized.
Sorry. Well, you know, I'm criticizing you all the time in my head. I'm just like, what is this guy saying? No. But you know what I mean? Like, you develop that skin and you kind of develop the idea, you're not going to get better until you get criticized harder. You have to understand that you have to show that you can take the critique rather than just kind of like shunt it off. And that's something that I think people don't realize. And, you know, that's where I think a lot of these RC guys get into that hole is that they may or may not kind of just brush it off when someone critiques them or where someone gives them a suggestion or not, you know, and it comes across as being like, you're doing it wrong. It's like, the funny thing is like when I'm in the, like, okay, so I've had, I don't want to say kids, but I've had younger people in my shop that I've, you know, had internships or they've been an intern and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I'll be in my office and I'll give them a cut list and I'll hear them cutting on the saw and I'll just be like, and I'll walk out and I'll be like, bro, you're cutting wrong. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, listen to this. Like, you know what I mean? And like, you can hear it. Like,
yeah,
you can hear the pitch different. And like, or I'll be in the shop, in the office drawing and I'll hear them welding. And I'm like, you're too cold. Like, you got to turn that welder up, you know, and it's because you, the experience. Yeah. And, but at the same time, there's a certain level of compassion that you go with that when you're saying, look, I'm trying to make you better. I'm trying to get you to this point that, you know, I'm not going to let you keep on going down this wrong road kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's where people in the RC industry are. I don't want to call it an industry in the RC hobby. I think that's what crossroads for a lot of people, you know, and because not everyone's a teacher and not everyone is a, you know, has a heart of gold. Someone just wants to go out there and race or, you know,
It's true.
But, you know, that's to each his own.
But yeah, like you said, we get that from where we've come from. When I was in J school, journalism school, I had a professor named Kerry French. As you can tell, he made an impression on me.
Yes.
He was South African. And just to give you, just to paint a picture, old white man, white hair, white goatee, South African accent. So already I'm intimidated by this guy. And he would come up to me with my news piece.
Did he wear a dickie?
Throw it on my desk. I did not see a dickie. I did not see a dickie. But I can't confirm he didn't. And he would throw my news piece on the table and it would be more red than black, which means he had the red pen out. And he goes, and he would just simply look at you and go, you need to take another look at that. Like, I can't do a South African accent. And he'd walk away.
That was good Sean Connery, though.
Yeah. We need to take another look at that one. That's entrapment. And I would sit there going, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. And I just dropped the F-bomb. There's another first podcast. Wow. Hope there's no kids listening. Maybe there are. Whatever. It's all part of
talking about passion. Passion pieces.
We're passionate.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get lost in the passion. So yeah, I hear you, man. You'd have to find a way to swallow the red ink and realize that it was coming from a good place. And at the end of the day, I remember graduating and he was a really good cat. He came and had beers with us, a bunch of us. And it was really funny because, you know, we feared him. We feared Kerry French and we'd always go to his class and we'd be like, oh my God, he's critical. But we get it now, right? So,
oh, dude, I have a very similar story where a guy, it was like drawing one, I think it was, or drawing two, and we're in the studio class, and you stand up at these drawing tables, right? And it's like a big circle, and in the middle of the studio is where the model or the study is that you're drawing. We're all sitting there, and it's like, well, you know, professor's a couple minutes late, and he walks in with these stacks of, you know, drawings, and they're just graphite drawings, and he walks in and everyone's kind of shuts up and looks at him, and then he just drops them all in the garbage can. Literally just is like bam in the garbage can, and he kind of like walks and looks at us as he's walking by, and he goes, if you guys want to be artists, you're gonna have to put more work into it than that. And it was just like,
wow,
get back to work. And we're like, oh, okay. Like, that's how it is.
Well,
you know,
it goes back to that youth thing where you think, and we all did it. This isn't a slight, this isn't us sounding like old men.
Right now. Not at all.
Cause we were, no, we're not. I know how it used to be. I had to work hard. Like we were all those young little whippersnappers.
Yep. There you did.
We were all young and thought we knew everything, right? We knew how the world worked. We knew how we were going to be successful. I knew better than my dad, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, man, we were all there. So we all change and evolve and learn, or you don't. And then you turn into, I don't know, a certain politician.
Yeah. So how do we get this back into RC?
Oh, my God, man. Oh, so I know how. So let me wax poetic about my new body, and then we're going to talk about your backgrounds. So,
I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, we've already talked about my background. Yeah.
We're going to get deep into Pablo's seated past. I know.
It's like new
way down.
Newsflash, you heard it here first. I'm running for office in 4 years. So there you go.
way down deep in the darkness.
Oh, it's dark.
Oh, it's dark. It's Martin Sheen dark. Part of darkness. Okay. So my body. So I picked it up from my friend James Vicente, who's local to me. I just want to give him a shout out, man. I know I've been gushing on social and some people get sick of that, but I was really stoked. He went hardcore like 48 hours on this thing. Like, I gave it to him on Saturday and I had it back yesterday. And it was hilarious. So he dropped it off to me. We met a sort of a halfway point and I'm just like gushing. I'm stoked. It looks awesome. It's kind of got that same Canadian Forces feel to it. He did some really hard camo and he just used tape, and I think he sprayed, but like not can, but I think he
airbrushed it.
He airbrushed it, and it was funny because then he said I put a rubber coating on the inside, and he was all worried because the rubber coating kind of came through a little bit. Although if he hadn't said it to me, I wouldn't have even noticed it, because it's the odd like speckle on the white. But going back to your point about artistry, right? It's like when I paint a wall in my house, and I know that I didn't sand down an old screw spot that I had, plastered over, and I'll see it every day for the rest of my life. So I think it was similar for him, but shout out, man. He did an awesome job. I'm stoked. Tomorrow night I'll drive it on the track and hopefully not destroy it.
I hope you don't destroy that car. That thing, it looks so sick, dude. Like I saw the pictures of it. I don't remember when I saw it, but I think I saw it on a story or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, that thing is probably one of the coolest race car bodies that I've seen, especially sitting on the on the chassis the way it was sitting. I was like,
he had it.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, dude, that thing looks like a race car. Like, no joke, it looks like a GT car. Like, I was like, that is cool.
Yeah, the driver doesn't look like a race car driver though. So we'll have to. I don't know what the hell we're gonna do there. But anyways, big shouts to him, man. He's an awesome dude. I just wanted to get that in there. But let's talk about you, man, because you're doing some cool stuff with some banners. Everybody knows you are a fabricator extraordinaire. So what's going on, man? What are you doing now?
It's funny you brought that up. I was like, why are you bringing this up?
Why, dude?
I shameless plug then, I guess, you know.
Of course, man.
So I don't remember what I was doing. I was doing a print run, meaning we print off banners or digital prints or whatever. And I was like, I should probably I've been dying to print a banner for my racetrack. Right. And then I was like, I need a cool backdrop. Cause I rearranged my table downstairs so that I can work with the kids and see the TV at the same time. Cause before my back was to everybody and I hated it. Right. Cause I felt like I was going in my little cavern working on RC cars. And so we turned it around.
Don't bug dad.
I know, dad. Right?
Backs to us. You know what happens.
I know. It's like, shut up! I was like, okay, well, maybe I should make a backdrop so I can, you know, take video and take pictures. I'm planning over the winter, I'm probably going to do a lot more how-to stuff. We talked about it before. I'm probably going to start a live cast for the work side of things. But, so I was like, you know, I need to have some kind of cool backdrop. Let's practice with this one. And of course, me, you know, I just drew it up real quick and printed it out. And I was like, whoa, this looked pretty cool. So I said, hey, there's a lot of other people that probably would benefit from this. It doesn't cost me very much. And maybe what I'll do is I'll make a couple bucks off of it and fund my projects with it. So I put it out there, and hopefully I don't get in trouble by any of the manufacturers for using their logos. And you know, it's like, full disclosure, guess what, guys? All those logos that I put on my RC on that backdrop are stuff that I use. So odds are that any money I make are going back in your pockets. So,
there you go. There you go, man.
So
no, they're cool, buddy. And I bring it up because it's what you do. And I like the way they look and they're cool. And I know at the track, like, guys will come out and they've got similar things, right? Whether they're 3D printing or they're doing, they've got a pit mat and they've got logos on it and stuff. So I know there's definitely an appetite for it. And it's, when you've got a space to work, whether it's like me in a stinky garage, or you've got like your corner down there that it's the don't bug dad corner. I'm just kidding. It's nice to have that, you know, that presence around. And when you shoot some videos, man, I mean, hey, end of the day, if you're on social, it's because you got a brand. Whether or not regardless of what you're trying to do with that brand, it's cool consistency. So, yeah, man,
it's awesome. Pretty fun, you know. And I think I've got two people. One account's a pretty big account that came to me and asked me to make them one too. So I'll be rolling that design out soon. But you know, the hard thing is, I am a guy that when it comes to this kind of stuff, I just want it to be canned, right? Like I don't want it to be, well, here's the other thing. I can't charge what I charge from my shop to sit down and design it. Like, I'm just like, that's not going to happen. So right. I got to figure a way to make it like, all right, everyone gets this backdrop, and then you get to choose what logos are on there, and it's done. And I'm swapping out your main logo. That's it. Like,
yeah,
it looks like the no soup for you kind of thing.
There's been some awesome, we've dropped some awesome pop culture references here today. So I think that's part of my favorite part of this podcast, man. It's not just even the RC or the flow of the conversation. It's when stuff gets dropped that you don't see coming. Like, man, I was dying last night. I don't want to go back to the plums, but I was watching that. So if you've seen that scene, but there's the B-roll of it where they're trying to nail it. And it's just this close-up of the three of them. And I forget the other actors' names with Will Ferrell. The one guy's from The Office, comedian.
Steve Carell.
And he kills me. No, the guy, the warehouse supervisor.
Oh, Duncan. What's his name?
Anyways, everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah. But
these guys are just trying to hold their faces, right? They're trying not to kill, like, break up laughing. And there's Will Ferrell just like, and he's doing it over and over. And every time he's delivering it, you know, I was making sweet love to my wife, and it came to me in a vision, you know, and then my son walked in and she said, no, no, you got to go. And I said, no, let him stay. He needs to learn the ways. And I'm laying in bed and I'm snorting like a pig. And my wife's looking at me like, what are you doing right now? And I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm good.
Oh my gosh. I have, I don't even know why I'm telling you. I don't know if you can hear it. Hang on. Let's try it.
Oh, crank it. Yeah.
Is it too quiet?
Yeah, I can't hear it. there it is. Up and put them in the sack lunches. Hey, that plum looks good. You got traded for your twinkie? No, these are my plums. I'm biting that plum. Let the juice spill down my chin. All the while, everyone's here. And he's just losing it.
Yep.
Right?
I want the juice to spill down.
If I recall correctly, my plums, beautiful bluish hue, the sun just dancing right off of them, just nice. Getting ready to take them to market.
Oh my god! I'm so glad you pulled that up.
That's what you need in the morning, right?
What a way to end this podcast, buddy.
I want to get the. Hold on. I want to get the. Came to me in a dream. What is it?
My wife Donna, on top of her. A sultry, hot evening. The heat turned up to about 82, so it gets sweaty and hot. My hips thrusting.
Oh, yeah.
When I hear a sound, my wife says, no, Gabriel, leave. I said, let the boy watch.
All right, that's enough of that.
Let the boy watch. All right, that's going to come out in another podcast up soon. We'll just pull these random pieces from it. I think that'll be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. No.
Oh,
I love it.
It's awesome. You need it, buddy. Humor is what we need right now, man. It's the world has enough of everything else. All right, man.
You done We're gonna now, wrap. Hey, Ron.
You done it now, Aaron. I'm gonna just for the listeners and for your sake, I'm gonna watch Talladega Nights today. So, because I love that.
You know, so okay, the funny thing is, after watching the debate, I don't know if you saw Biden's hands start raising when he was talking. It totally reminded me of Ricky Bobby. Because when he was getting his interview, he was like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, like it was.
That's awesome.
Like, I should take the two videos and put them side by side because their hands
side by side.
Totally go up the same way as they're talking.
That's hilarious. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's the first thing. Poor guy. I thought about that when I saw it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It's Ricky Bobby.
Get ready for the memes.
Like, my wife and I looked at each other a couple of times and we're like, did he really just say that? Like, I'm getting lucky tonight. Did you hear that at the beginning? Someone said that.
No.
I don't remember if it was Biden or I think it was Biden. He goes, I'm getting lucky tonight. He said something like that. But it was like quiet when he said it. Right. And I was like, oh, that's a perfect sound bite.
I think I did hear that because he was referencing how Trump kept interrupting like all night, right? Like the poor moderator. And I remember him saying, oh, I'm getting lucky. Yeah. That's going to be.
I'm going to have to take that one out for sure.
Oh, buddy. It's going to be awesome. All right, brother. Well, I'm going to get back to solving world hunger and world peace, all the good stuff I do over here.
Right on.
I'm sure you're going to do the same. We'll have a solution by the next podcast.
Yeah. No, there you go.
All right, man.
That's going to be our next Anchorman reference. I have a newscast.
Attention, everyone. I have a very important announcement to make. Oh, my God. I've got a whole list of movies to watch.
I got to figure out a way to port these through because I just took my headphones off and put them over the mic. So
I love it. I'm going to work on that, too. Yeah.
Because I've got my screens here where I had my Samuel Jackson soundboard up that I was going to play with. And it didn't work. So I'm going to have to figure that out. But once I figure that out, brother, that would be pretty awesome.
What an element.
Oh, I know, right? That'd be awesome.
Will be. We don't even have to talk then. We can just play back to back to back to back clips and just keep.
We'll just put them together as their clips to make it sound like a wonderful conversation.
Yeah. Oh, ton of work, but worth it. All right, bro.
Cool, man.
Good chat. We'll connect again the weekend edition, guys. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. As always, the listenership's been up a bit, man. I'll get you some numbers, Pablo. Nice. But it's nice to see. Maybe with the crappy weather for the majority of our continent coming, it will maybe more people will hunker down with a hot cup of cocoa and slippers and their robe and just listen to us.
Well, I always lay on my bearskin rug and sit in front of my fire, but I'm just saying.
And with that, folks, I think we're gonna wrap it. Later,
all right,
bro.
Man, take it easy.